It's time for the Fin Addicts Miami Dolphins podcast on the Fin Addicts Network. The Jason Taylor All-In for Literacy Virtual Poker Championship, Volume 6, hosted by Faded Spade. Wednesday, October 21st, 2020 at 6:30 p.m. Play alongside Dolphins legends, TV and radio personalities, and the Fin Addicts. Entry into the qualifier tournaments is a $99 donation to the Jason Taylor Foundation. But you can enter to win a free seat in the tourney simply by subscribing to the Fin Addicts Network on YouTube and DMing us a screenshot of you doing so. What's more, if you finish higher than all five Fin Addicts, you will also win this rad mini helmet, actually signed by Jason Taylor himself. So what are you waiting for? Go subscribe to us on YouTube and let us know, so everyone can go all in on literacy, a word we definitely didn't misspell.
Hello and welcome to the Fin Addicts Miami Dolphins podcast, brought to you in part by Manscaped, hosted by me, the legendary Savak, and I am joined, of course, by my co-host from No Coast, Mr. Brian Byrne. How you doing, Brian?
Savak, I'm doing good. I'm a little upset about this legendary Savak, and then, oh yeah, and Brian Byrne's here too. So, but I'm going to make it even worse, because not only are we joined by the legendary Savak, but we also have handsome Jimmy back in the mix. Jimmy, how's it going?
What is going on, man? How do you think I feel? The legendary, then you, and I don't even get, and then like, oh, by the way, this dude's showing back up again.
Getting to it.
I camped out outside of Fin Addicts, the warehouse. I was just waiting for a shot. I'm like, hey guys, come on, let me in, let me get on the show, and it paid off. So, but no, hey, thanks for having me, guys. Nice to see everybody.
Absolutely. It's damn delighted back to see you, right?
I like how I'm handsome now. I wasn't handsome before I left. I don't know, it might be the bro bun. It's hard to see. I don't call it a man bun, it's a bro bun. Trademarks.
I like that much better. That's good. Yeah. We should turn that into a hat. That'd be great.
Bro bun. The bun part's the one that you should change, if anything, but I couldn't come up with anything better.
We'll work on that. Tell you what, we'll have a roundtable discussion about it afterwards. But we got to talk about this upcoming game, guys. So let me set the scene for you. So due to some schedule reshuffling, the 0-5 Jets will now travel down to Miami this week to take on our beloved Dolphins at Hard Rock Stadium. Now, following a rather dominant performance displayed by Miami and Santa Clara against the 49ers, most folks are expecting this to be a relatively easy ass-whooping that Miami should emerge out of with a 500 record. Miami has bested the Jets in four of their last five meetings, and the lone loss was by 1 point. The Dolphins enter this matchup coming off their best and most complete game of the season, absolutely handling a team that was just in the Super Bowl. So the Jets, on the other hand, come into this game on the heels of a pretty bad loss and ranking at or near the bottom of the NFL in most, if not all, categories, which of course beckons the question, what do we even have to talk about here today? I guess we will start with the Jets named Joe Flacco, their starting quarterback for week 6. Darnold sidelined with a sprain to his AC joint. I'm going to throw it to you first, Brian.
Yeah, I threw up on a Twitter poll on this, because I'm actually a little bit disappointed that we're going against the second string quarterback. I think Flacco might be a little bit better than Darnold. But yeah, I threw it up on Twitter. Who would you rather face, Darnold or Flacco? And it's very close. 56% would rather face Flacco. 44% would rather face Darnold. I just think Darnold is just at a point where he has zero confidence, even if his shoulder was where, you know, it should be. He's got no one to throw to. Their offensive line's a mess. A younger quarterback has a much harder time dealing with all the adversity the Jets have to face than somebody like Joe Flacco. Not that I'm scared of Joe Flacco. I did look up last night who is the
third string, or now I guess the second string quarterback of the New York Jets. Do either of you guys know that?
I do.
Man. All right. If you know for sure, let me get, what's his name? No, I have no clue. I know it was something, Penny, or Bryce something.
No, that it feels like a Bryce Petty kind of moment, but it's rookie James Morgan from Florida International University. He also via Kent State, but yes, I don't know what round he was taken in, but
a late one.
You could have gave me 30 guesses. I never would have came up with that name.
I wouldn't be shocked though if we ended up meeting Mr. Morgan tomorrow or on Sunday with Flacco playing behind, just Flacco being Flacco and playing behind a pretty beaten up offensive line.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I mean, that's how Sam Darnold came to be in the first place. But Jimmy, which one would you rather face, Joe Flacco or Sam Darnold?
So I was all in on Darnold when they took him. I still like Darnold. I just think it's time for a fresh start somewhere else. You know, what can be blamed on Gase, the weapons, the O-line? I still think he is a talented quarterback for sure. So I would much rather face Joe Flacco. Listen, even when Joe Flacco was quote-unquote good, like I'm looking at his stats right here, and 27-12 was one of his best years, was his best year in 2014. It's been downhill since then. But even when he was a starting quarterback, I'd say the past 6 years that he started, his best move was throwing the ball in the air and getting a pass interference 50 yards down the field. He would throw it, short arm it, and the receiver would have to come back, run into a DB 50 yards down the field. Boom. Like, you can go – there's highlight reels of it.
Go ahead, Brian.
So we have a new system here because I've been cutting off Savak recently in our past couple of shows that I had to bring it up today. I am going to try to raise my hand when I want to speak. We're going to go back to kindergarten for Brian because apparently I'm not an adult, which I can't handle. But the last thing I want to say about Flacco is it would be nice to throw some wood at him because – you know, the last couple times, Thursday night football games, we played Baltimore when Flacco was a quarterback, and man, did they beat the crap out of the Dolphins. You know, I think it was like 44-0 and 51-0. I mean, Flacco just outside of Kiko just putting Flacco in concussion protocol. I mean, he really just pounded us. So it would be nice to be on the other side of an ass-whooping of Joe Flacco on this Sunday. So that's my last thoughts on that. But still, you know, Halloween's coming up. I'd much rather be making Sam Darnold see ghosts.
You guys mind if I ask a question real quick? Could you get your guys' opinion on something?
Please.
So it's looking, you know, very likely the Jets have a great chance of landing that number one overall pick. No way they don't take Lawrence, right? And then figure it out, like move on Darnold. Like they have to do that, right?
Yeah, I think you absolutely have to. Okay. Because you just don't know what you have in Darnold, and what are you going to do? His rookie deal's coming up on an end. You're going to extend him to a $20 million a year based on seeing ghosts and he's never proven anything. You know, good chance maybe he's a Ryan Tannehill candidate with Adam Gase just being a god-awful coach and human being, but who knows? But I think you have to. You're in the top. Even if they're in the first two, I think you take Fields out of Ohio State and move on from Darnold either way.
100% agree. I think if you find yourself in position to take him, you kind of have to, especially being where they are right now. They have to rebuild. Yeah, you take Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I don't see how not. Yeah, I personally, I think that this, you know, Flacco for Darnold thing, I think Gase was looking for this to happen anyways. And all jokes aside, I really think he wanted this to happen and he wants Flacco to look okay so he can save his own butt and be like, oh, look, it was Darnold this whole time. Flacco came in here. We looked decent. Like now he can throw Darnold under the bus if Flacco makes this offense at least look somewhat competent.
Adam Gase throwing players under the bus?
How dare I?
That should literally be his nickname. Adam the Bus Gase, because he will throw anybody under the bus. Like the beer vendor, it doesn't matter. Anyone in the building's fault besides Adam Gase.
He might have Jerome Bettis trying to throw him under a bus if he tries to take that nickname. But
agreed.
But he should. Yes, I like it.
So I mean, speaking of that sort of thing, takes us right into our next topic. The Jets released Le'Veon Bell, pulling the most Jets move imaginable, following less than a 2-year stint with the Jets, wherein Bell recorded 863 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns, 500 receiving yards, and 1 touchdown through the air. And the deal itself was a 4-year, $52 million deal with $27 million guaranteed and $15 million in dead cap this season and still $4 million in dead cap next season. Jimmy, I'll start with you on this one. What are your thoughts?
Why? Because I've been shaking my head for 30 seconds now. Yes. My thoughts, I wish we knew each other and were podcasting when this deal was done, because there would be recorded audio of me screaming about how this is the dumbest thing that a team has ever done. I have no beef with Bell in this situation, getting some money, doing his thing. I don't get why you would go into a division with New England in the first place on a horrible team, but why did they sign him in the first place? Like, this team has so many more needs. And as we've seen, it wasn't as relevant, I guess, for however many 4 years ago it was, or 3 years, whatever it's been now. Just running backs, you don't need to do this with running backs. I guess we know that for sure now, but there was some sort of idea a few years ago. But it just didn't make any sense in the first place. The only thing I'm surprised about is that it kind of just faded away with no big fireworks on the field, like him swinging on Gase or him calling somebody out. He handled himself very well. I'll give him that. I know he said a few passive-aggressive things on Twitter, I believe, about wanting to be out of there. But that was all within the past week or two from off of memory. But, it was a stupid contract in the first place. Now they're stuck with it for a little while on the books. Good for him. I'm pro player on this one, especially Gase. You know, Brian will know way better than I will. Brian could probably name all of them, but how many all pros has this dude just ran out of town? I'm talking like NFL all pro, all team, not pro bowlers either. Like, we're talking dudes best in their position. He's ran them out of town.
Go ahead, I got to take a victory lap on this, Savak, and Jimmy can vouch for it. I'm glad Jimmy, you know, joining us tonight, because I said this when they signed Frank Gore in the offseason. I said, I swear to God, Adam Gase is going to find a way to give the ball more to Frank Gore than he is the stud Le'Veon Bell. And sure enough, he's found the way. And Jimmy, I got to correct you. It feels like it should have been that Bell's been on this team for 3 years and it just hasn't worked out. But no, it's only been a year and 5 weeks. Jeez. That's all he's given them. And he's been injured for like the majority of that, you know, to walk away from this contract at this point is, it's just Adam Gaseian. There's no other way to set it up. I mean, If Savak, I don't know if you want to weigh on that, we can go to the Gase press conference on this right now, because it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
You can start setting it up, and I mean, I'll just say that I agree with you guys, and I thought that it was a curious move to sign him to begin with. I didn't think that was going to work out. And of course, just like you said, when they added Frank Gore, you're like, okay, you know, Gase is going to start leaning towards Frank Gore more than Le'Veon Bell. And it's interesting now when you see some of those comments coming out and some of the things that Adam Gase has said, it's just bizarre. You start to question whether or not this man's rooted in reality or not.
Yeah, they might need to do like a wellness check on this dude, like a mental health check. And Brian, I can't believe I was that far off on the years. Thank you for bringing that up. It's almost like when you're flying across the Atlantic and you fall asleep and it feels like 12 hours and you're like, man, we're probably landed in England like any time now. And you haven't even flown past like JFK yet. Like, it was so bad there and so uneventful and so just nothing. If you would have been like, Jimmy, you want to double check that? I would have been like, yeah, they signed him like 2.5, 3, like before 3 seasons ago. But wow.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah, with that, let's go to the Adam Gase press conference, because it's just comical him trying to defend this move.
I just can't stand his face. I know. He's so it's so smug. It just whenever you freeze it, it just looks smug.
Yup.
Are you serious?
You know, Le'Veon, you know, that was kind of the consensus we came back, you know, to last night, you know, spoke with him. You know, for us, we just felt like it was best that, you know, we part ways. It gives him an opportunity to go somewhere else. You know, for us, I mean, you know, I want nothing but the best for him. You know, get an opportunity to go somewhere else and you know, have success. And, you know, it's tough. It's a tough decision to make, but we felt like that was the best for us, at the you know, where we're at right now. And, you know, we got to move on to Miami.
Adam, I think a lot of people will look at the decision to let Bell go and connect some of the dots that and that kind of perception of big personality players that worked with you in Miami and then with Jamal and Le'Veon gone here. I mean, why did it go south? And just even if you could address kind of that stigma that's now out there louder than ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. You know, we're going to have to. You know, as our team moving forward to Miami, that's the number one concern for us right now.
Do you think he can still be a productive back in the league?
I'm sure he'll get an opportunity somewhere else, and you know, we'll see what happens.
Do you agree with the perception that you misused him?
It's irrelevant at this point.
Yeah, but Adam, when a team makes a free agent investment that large and it ends before two seasons, I think the fans are interested in knowing why it didn't work out with a player of that stature.
Yeah, it didn't work out. It didn't work out, and we're going to focus on this game right now.
It's irrelevant. It's just irrelevant.
How is it irrelevant?
You're
paying $15 million
that's
this
irrelevant.
Year, $4 million next year. Your job as a head coach is to have some kind of answers. You can't do things like this and sit up there and be like, I don't know.
That's irrelevant. That's relevant.
Yeah.
It's just irrelevant.
Just
no,
just didn't
not.
Work out.
Yeah.
Every player that you've ever been in contact with that is good wants away from you. And, you know, right before this podcast started, he signed in Kansas City. Jamal Adams went to Seattle. It just seems like if there was a Hawaii team, they would have signed there, just as far away from Adam Gase as possible. I had to play this because it's baffling. We saw this when he was in Miami. He just no answers, no responsibility, no anything. He's just like, what is he doing up there? How is he getting money? Like, Jimmy, what's your favorite line?
Oh, Adam Gase? I'm rich, bitch, or say what's the? I forget what he said. Yeah,
he said
yeah,
I'm rich as
I'm
fuck.
Paid.
Or something
yeah, I'm rich
like
as
that.
Fuck. Yeah, he's like, I don't care. I'm rich as fuck, or I'm getting paid, or something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the only thing he knows.
To be honest, I would have respected him more if he would have just said, you know what, I don't give a fuck what the fans say.
That would sound less ridiculous than what he did say, which is literally nothing. I don't understand how it's irrelevant when it's the biggest news. An all-pro running back wanted to leave your team again. He didn't do anything there. It was a horrible signing. You had three questions in a row about it, so obviously it's relevant to someone. He's going to get hammered. I'm going to listen to like Mike and the Mad Dog or whatever tomorrow because he's going to get hammered. Everybody who calls in is just going to murder him.
And he deserves
to be. That's a bad phrase, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not like literally everybody, but people going to ride him and he deserves it. I mean, come on now. You can't, how are you going to turn around and say it's irrelevant that you misused him? Because I mean, that's exactly the reason that you're moving on from. Y'all just released this all pro running back that you gave $27 million to for less than two seasons worth of work. This is, it's absolutely relevant. It's kind of ludicrous.
Yeah, you got it. It's relevant. And what you'd have to expect the coach to say is, so Adam Gase from the very beginning said he didn't want Le'Veon Bell. Just he queered this relationship before it ever started. You know, the old GM, I think McCagnan was his name,
signed Bell and Gase got stuck with him. But the relevant question is, you misused him and you never tried to use him right. And you never tried to design anything for him. And this is a record, man. Look at the backs that Gase misused. Kenyon Drake, who went like, what, 1,000 yards in 6 games last year. Jay Ajayi sat behind Arian Foster, Damian Williams for 5 games before he rushed for 1,200 yards in a season. Damian Williams never got a chance and turned out to be a almost Super Bowl MVP in Kansas City. It's just, yeah, whoever, if you're a back that Gase doesn't like, you're about to get paid.
That's 2 Super Bowl winners too, right? Ajayi won in Philly. Williams went to KC and won. Man, watch out, Bell win a Super Bowl this year, man. You leave Gase, you win a Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, he did just go to join the Super Bowl champions, so that is very, very possible for him.
Is there any kind of thing like, maybe he's got to be the man on the team, right? That's what it is, right? It's an ego thing. Like you said, he didn't want Bell from the beginning. Maybe I feel like he's trying to be smarter than everybody else. I feel like he wants to do it with a bunch of guys that people don't know of, where he's the superstar, like a Belichick type thing, maybe, where he just plugs his guys in and it works. It's got to be something to do with ego, man, especially when you go back to the quote that I like throwing around of, I'm rich, rich as fuck, whatever. It seems like it's just he's an egomaniac or a narcissist or something.
I do wholeheartedly agree, and we've heard this story before. We've heard it reported that he feels that he's the smartest person in the room at all times, and we've seen this. He's parted out. That's what he did at the end of his tenure with the Miami Dolphins. He parted out all of these players that weren't his guys, and then he brought in his guys, and we saw what the effects of that was. You know, he wants that credit. What's the word for it? It eludes me now, but.
I think the only good way to move off of this is let one of his mistakes, you know, segue us out of Adam Gase. And Devontae Parker was asked about him today, and they asked Devontae, as you think back to your time with New York Jets head coach Adam Gase, obviously you'll see him on the opposing sidelines. Do you have good feelings about it? Just your thoughts on working with him during your time you guys were together? My time with him was pretty good. There was that little situation that happened, but that's in the past. I'm just focused on our team right now and what we've got going on. You know, just another example of a guy that, you know, Adam Gase couldn't figure out. And the second he got away from him, all pro numbers, you know, Devontae Parker's first year away from Gase, 1,200 yards, you know, and he couldn't get him 500 in a season. You know, it's just,
that's irrelevant, Brian.
It's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant. Exactly.
Which does, I mean, it is pretty interesting. Now, per Cameron Wolf, the Dolphins are, what is that? Do I read it as -9.5?
Yeah, -9.5.
Okay, -9.5 point favorites over the Jets on Sunday. Brian Flores said he didn't know much about spreads, so here's a few stats. Miami's favored for the first time since week 16 of 2018. The first time favored by more than a touchdown since 2016. And the last time they won back-to-back games by double digits, week 6 and 7 of 2015. All of this has the makings of being a trap game. Because based on everything, based on all the numbers and hyperbole and the history, we should stroll into our home stadium and kick the living shit out of the Jets. But that is why it's such a great trap game, because we historically have had this issue of playing down to the level of inferior competition. So how concerned should we be about this, Brian?
Yeah, I'm not going to go with trap game. I'm going to go with defining game, because I think trap game infers that, you know, I think you have to be better than 2-3 to be a trap game. And these stats are staggering. First time favored since week 16 of 2018. That's 2 and a third season, or 1 and a third season they haven't been favored in a game. But more importantly, I think this is a defining game for this coaching staff and this group of guys. You know, they're favored. They just they went to San Francisco and they had a great game. If they can put another great game together and they go home to Miami and do what they should do to the New York Jets, then, you know, I think what people have been saying about Coach Flores and where the direction of this team is headed is all gets vindicated and it's all in the right place. If it somehow turns out to be a trap game and we go out there and like we need a, you know, a pass interference on the last play of the game or something like that to win or lose, we're in trouble. You know, what was last year all about if we can't go home and just trounce on this Jet team? That's, you know, they're in dire straits. I mean, the coach thinks everything's irrelevant. They have no players left. It's a defining game or it's a oh no game.
I think it still counts as a defining game regardless. You know, it either defines us as a good improving team or it defines us as the same mediocre team that we've been. You know, Jimmy, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you guys hit the nail right on the head. The only thing I've been seeing all week is it's a trap game. And I will say it's a trap game if we're just looking at it gambling. Laying -9.5 with the Dolphins right now with a 2-3 team, like it's just not a great idea. So I will do everything in my power to not lay those points with the Miami Dolphins, even though I think they are going to hammer the Jets. Because, yeah, this can be a trap game, but like Brian said, this isn't a 4-1, 5-0 team that we have. This shouldn't be a trap game to a team that doesn't know how to win yet. This should be we go out and we prove that, you know, we should be winning some games and you lay the wood on them and you go into this bye week, a 500 team. Just some more stuff I was pulling up. The Jets are bad. It's not a bad gambling spot anyways. If you do like the Dolphins, 0-5 against the spread this year. They're 1-4 straight up against Miami the last five. 0-4-1 against the spread in Miami in the last five. They're 3-14 on the road in their last 17. So there's a lot of indicators right here pointing towards Miami. And I just don't think that they're cocky enough, win enough for it to be a trap game. And with Coach Flores, I don't think, like he said, he doesn't even know what a spread is, what that means. He doesn't care. He's trying to win a football game. And it was great. I was reading when the media spoke to him earlier today and they asked him about Bell and they're like, oh, what do you think? What can you give us news? And he's like, hey, that's a question for the GM. I'm here. We're game planning for the Jets. And they're like, oh, well, you know, you might sign Bell. He's like, yeah, he's a great player. If it happens, it happens. We're trying to beat the Jets. Like they are focused. They are ready to go. And I think the bye week now comes at a great time. They can win a game, win two in a row, go into a bye, 3-3. It's definitely a trap game for, you know, in the sense of the definition, whatever. But the way Brian put it is the way that I'll be putting it going forward now is that there is no trap games for 2-3 teams. It's just not how it works.
Yeah, I do think the great thing about this is if we can go home, get this victory, we have our bye week. And to be 500 with the upcoming schedule that we have, it's a pretty good place to be. You know, we have the Rams at home. We travel to Arizona. We got the 1-4 Chargers at home. We got at Denver, who has one win and six quarterbacks. And then we got the Jets again. And then we got Cincinnati. Our schedule gets really harder after that. But, I mean, 6 or 7 very winnable games, you know, where – that those ideas that I had at the beginning of the year of that 7th playoff spot or that 6th playoff spot, it becomes real if we can, you know, we lay the wood on the Jets and we come out of this bye and continue to learn how to win and finish games. I think, you know, we could be start something really cool here. Something that, man, I don't know about you guys. It's been foreign to me for a really long time as a Miami Dolphin fan.
I'd like to throw out something cool. I forgot I had written down. I looked up earlier because I saw Savak like the Jets 3-14 on the road in their last 17. They have 6 offensive touchdowns in 5 games this year when I was looking into it. They have lost by 2 scores the first 5 weeks of the season. They're only one of 4 teams to ever do that in the past 30 years to go 0-5 and you lose every game by 2 scores. So they are historically bad right now. Like that's impressive kind of for Gase. Like you have one of the most historically bad football teams going.
But he's an offensive genius. What do you mean?
Bro, I mean, 6 touchdowns in 5 games, man's great. If you're like 8 and you're playing Pop Warner and they score 1 touchdown every 2 weeks. But I mean, the scoring boom we're seeing, I think at this point last year, we're like 6 points ahead of where it was last year. Like the scoring, you look at totals to bet a game, everything's over 50. It's like Bears versus Panthers, like 55 points. Like no way, dude. And yet they've scored 30 points on touchdowns or whatever that is, 36 points on touchdowns this year.
In friggin' credible. So I guess we'll go ahead and segue into the injury report. Brian, would you like to lead us off?
Absolutely. Let's see if I can share my screen without being a bullet head. All right, here we go. The Miami Dolphins injury report. We have Kayvon Frazier, the safety. He practiced full for the second day in a row. He is suffering from a shoulder. Davin Godshaw is the big news. He did not participate. The news is kind of that they're waiting to put him on the IR. He has a torn bicep that they're looking at. There's a good chance we don't see Godshaw in Miami again, being in a contract year. Xavien Howard practiced in full. I think he's just going to be on the injury report for the rest of the season, but no real reason. Jones practiced in full, you know, is really good to see with the groin and the Achilles that he came back last week. He played and he didn't have a setback. Kinley still on there with the foot, but went full. Shaq Lawson is limited. Devontae Parker at full. Durbin Smythe is limited. And Kyle Van Noy, the best news of the day, he was limited in practice, but he did come back to practice. He was not there yesterday. So hopefully Van Noy can get healthy, you know, even if it's not for the Jets game, but healthy after the bye. The Jets, though, are just, you know, they're decimated. Their class of the draft, Becton did not participate for the second day in a row with the shoulder. Not expected to play. As we've talked about, Sam Darnold is not playing. George, two other O-linemen did practice in full, George Pfaff being the key one there. We have Frank Gore did not participate after, I guess that maybe not injury related, just being an old man day. But with Bell not being there, and did you guys know that Kalen Ballage is now on the LA Chargers practice squad? He's no longer a member of the Jets. So I don't know who they have after Gore and their rookie Perrine.
Ty Johnson is their third running back. I believe he was Detroit, I think.
And then they have the O-line. Alex Lewis did come back and limited participant today after missing yesterday. Breshad Perriman is limited. He does look like Perriman will probably make it to this Sunday and get back into action. And Quinnen Williams is limited with a hamstring, but he's on pace to play as well. Those are the big news out of the injury reports, which are very relevant this week.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I've always thought that was kind of curious. You know, for the people who defend Adam Gase, they say usually that's one of the excuses. Oh, well, he's got a bunch of players that were injured. Well, that's been a reoccurring theme on teams coached by him. So, you know, at what point do we start to lay some of that accountability at his feet?
Yeah, I think they're going full like sell-off too. There's rumors, and it was just really mild rumors I saw about 5 minutes before I hopped on with you guys. They're looking to trade Quinnen Williams is the rumor. They're kind of like selling off, I think. It was just a very minor, like, hey, there's talk that they're shopping him.
Oh my goodness, fire sale in the process.
That would be the only reason not to take Lawrence next year is just this team is so – I mean, they have nothing. What they have Becton to build on, and that's the whole deal, you know. So, you know, Lawrence, he's going to be Sam Darnold. If he gets drafted to this team, if I'm this kid's agent, no, man, go back and play baseball for a year. Do anything else because – you're walking into a horrible situation. They're still going to need 4 offensive linemen and 3 wide receivers and 2 running back. Like they have built nothing in these past couple of years of drafting among the top. And Yeah, it's just it's a complete disaster in New York. And I do think Joe Douglas is, you know, not an awful GM, but you got to put a tourniquet on this at some point and stop the bleeding, keep a couple of assets. And, you know, like as we showed last year, you can't get everything in one offseason. Yeah. And they're going to have a lot of dead money with these people that are leaving too. I don't know how you get in front of this. This is just a nightmare in New York.
They're really far away. Yeah. This isn't even like the beginning of a rebuild because they don't have anything to build with. You know, we had a bunch of draft picks, you know, a couple of decent players, good infrastructure. They don't have anything. I would not hold it against them. Wouldn't be shocked if Lawrence forces a trade or something, you know, like a Eli Manning, Philip Rivers type situation, man.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say. If I were him and they tried to take me, I'd refuse to play for him. Nope, yeah. Not playing for y'all. Sorry, it's just not happening. I'm not putting my life on the line for that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the best part of this, guys, is we have to move on from this. But, like, this isn't us. You know, after 3 years of Adam Gase, this isn't our talk. This isn't our world that we have to be living in. We just had to visit the hell that is the New York Jets for a little bit, but you know, we're in a completely different place. And you know, there's a really good segue. Ryan Fitzpatrick was interviewed yesterday. I get to be a part of 1 day a week of going to the press conferences. So it's pretty cool to hear Ryan Fitzpatrick talk about he was asked about how the three rookie offensive linemen have not given up one sack all year. And he had the quote of the year. He said, but as far as being three knucklehead rookies, they played pretty well. We just have to continue to make sure we're on the upward trend and they improve every week. And, you know, Fitzpatrick went on to say, it's nice. It's even being in the huddle, not having the nervousness of those guys looking like they don't belong in the huddle. All three of those guys have the right look in their eye. And, you know, that's where we're building. We did it right. We started with the O-line and the D-line, and the O-line is really starting to pay off, and we're seeing the dividends. Even when we lost Jackson for a week, you know, Robert, big Bob Hunt steps in at right tackle and played great. And I think, you know, we're really, you know, with him and Kinley and when Jackson comes back, if we have a franchise quarterback and three offensive linemen in one draft, I mean, what, in two rounds of the draft? I mean, it's a nice place to be right now as a Dolphin fan.
Absolutely. Tell me what that says about Chris Greer if he managed to do all that in just a couple rounds. I always had the feeling he would really excel at that job if they took the handcuffs off him, and look at him go. So I hope we continue to see progress like this. I have been astounded by the offensive line play. When you have so many rookies out there, you wouldn't expect them to come together and be able to protect the way that they have. But they have managed to keep Fitzpatrick upright, and they've looked damn good doing it. So I hope they continue to progress like that, because that's only going to pay dividends for us in the future. And, of course, we want to see Tua last for a long time. We don't want him to be running for his life and getting beat up like these other rookies out here, Joe Burrow and stuff, you know. So I'm excited. Now, Jimmy, you got anything on this offensive line?
No, it's just I was texting with Brian, or actually I think we were on the phone a few days ago, and it's other than the punter, who I think's been up until last week where they looked really well, Hawk? Was like the brightest star on the team to me. He was just pinning teams inside the 5 yard line. But aside from that, no, it's been great. How quick it's come along, how quick it's gelled. It's kind of amazing and borderline unbelievable. Cause you mentioned like Burrow, that dude's been getting hammered. He looks great. But every time you flip their game on, the kid's on his back. And you can be tough, you can last forever, you know, whatever, but those add up, you know, like it doesn't need to be one big hit. You're out. Those build over time, and, you know, we don't need Tua taking those, and yeah, even not Fitzpatrick, but no, I'm very impressed with the line, and you know, I'll eat a little crow on it. I doubted it, you know, coming into the year a little bit. I definitely didn't think it would happen this quickly. And obviously there's still a little ways to go with it. They'll continue to grow, but man, it's looked really good. In the pass game, the run game hasn't been great. We can't really put that all on the O-line though. The running backs haven't been too spectacular, but no, it's they're miles ahead of where they should be.
Agreed. And I do want to expand on something you said real quick, because you mentioned that that Hawk was the lone bright spot. I really think it's special teams in general, because Jason Sanders has been just absolutely incredible as well. So, I mean, spot on with that. But you wanted to contribute something, Brian?
Yeah, I wasn't going to talk about Jason Sanders, but not to jinx it. He's perfect, I believe, a 14 of 14 on field goals this year, which is just unbelievable. Our punter, every time he kicks it, it's in the 10-yard line. But, yeah, I mean, back to the O-line, I was a homer, and I thought that every signing was going to be great and every draft pick was going to be great. But even being a homer, like, I couldn't imagine it worked out as well as it has this year. And, you know, they got to gain some confidence last week and finally, like, give some Fitzpatrick some real time and get those deep balls working. And now you have another weak D-line coming in with the Jets coming in. And it's weird to say the 49ers have a weak D-line, but if you look at the injuries they just didn't have it last week. Everybody's out. But they're just gaining confidence, and it'll be nice to see if they can get that run game going this week and just really lay it to the Jets and just continue to gain that confidence. And, I mean, you know, we didn't get that preseason, and these guys are coming together already. So it's, you know, where this team's going to be at the end of the year is not where it is right now. It's going to continue to improve. That's the advantage of having – people say we have the youngest team in the NFL. That is false. We have the second youngest team in the NFL, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Screws that up because he's so goddamn old. But outside of that, we would have the youngest team in the NFL. And when you start playing like this at this young, you know, these guys are going to get better every week. And I just, again, that optimism that where is this going is just, it's pretty exciting. And we're not even talking about Tua yet. There's this BS Twitter beef going on this week about Justin Herbert and Tua and who's better and like who cares, you know, like we're doing it the right way. Tua is learning the game the right way. I don't care about that debate. I don't care that we were not seeing Tua. I'm just excited that like we're building a core. So when Tua does walk into this huddle, he's going to have, you know, it's not going to be Lawrence walking into or trying to avoid New York. You know, he's got something to be built around. It's just, it's really, really exciting to be a Dolphins fan right now.
Yeah, I think that's actually spot on, as we're building the nucleus of a team that ideally you can insert any of quarterbacks in and they should be successful. And I think that to me is more valuable than watching our rookie play this year. And so I love to see it. Did you want to say something, Jimmy?
I like watching Herbert play. I love watching Burrow play. I've been watching him nonstop. I got the ticket. I can always, if they got the ball, I'm going to look. I would just say other fans that are, you know, on Twitter spouting off about where's Tua, when's Tua coming, look at these guys. Just enjoy it. Like, go watch them. You're going to want to have some quarterbacks around so we can get some more rivalries going, like a Brady, Manning, and all this stuff that we're losing as these older guys phase out. I'm cheering for Burrow. I'm cheering for Herbert. I want good quarterbacks, good football. You know, it makes the product better. It makes the games better. It'll be great when, you know, the Dolphins in 5 years run into the Bengals in the AFC Championship. It's Burrow versus Tua. Like, it's going to be great. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Slow your roll.
Couldn't agree more. And, you know, I love quarterbacks. I ideally, I would want everybody to come in and be successful, you know. So, I love to see how many of these young guys are stepping right in and, you know, able to play at a high level. That's awesome to see. But we got to keep moving it along. Let's look at this, the punt return game. Jakeem Grant fumbled one again, almost gave it up very close to our own end zone, and he has become a liability out there. So this could be the perfect week to try somebody else out there. I know Brian's got something to say about this. Who would you want to see?
I mean, We can't be complete homers. We got to talk about at least one negative thing, and Jakeem Grant is definitely, you know, he has got to give him a little credit. He's looked a little bit better as a wide receiver the past couple of weeks. He's made a couple big third down catches, but yeah, that, you know, he's getting paid to be a punt returner and a kick returner, and kick returner is no longer a position in the NFL anymore. I've seen like two kicks get returned all season long. They're just getting kicked right out of the back of the end zone, but he's a liability in punt return. We have other options. Malcolm Perry was the talk of camp. Maybe this is a week that we finally get to see him. Maybe we put Lynn Bowden Jr. back there. It's time to put anyone else back there. It's the week two against the Jets. Let's, as long as it's not Preston frickin' Williams, it could be anyone else. But yeah, I definitely think it's time to make a move and let somebody else get some action at punt returner. We have a lot of speed. We have a lot of exciting young guys in there. And I'd like to see what anybody else could do back there because, Grant fumbling on your 5-yard line, that's how you lose to a team like the Jets when, you know, you're a 10-point favorite.
I might be mistaken. Did you guys do a pod a while back and it was about cuts? And Brian, you were pretty low on Jakeem Grant coming into the year, right?
Yeah, in my defense, I thought he could be on the cut block, but then Hearns and Wilson opted out, which yeah. I believe saved his job for sure.
But you were low on him, right? Yeah. Wasn't that part? Yeah. All right, yeah. So, hey, you were vindicated. I feel like, man, yeah, something's got to change, man. And I'm with Perry or Bowden.
Don't get me wrong. I love Jakeem Grant. And, I how he approaches the game and, you know, the kid tries. I would love to eat crow on Jakeem Grant. I'd love to sit here and say he's absolutely killing it. He's got 3 punt returns for touchdowns, and he's stepped up as a wide receiver. It hasn't been the reality though. And it's just time to try something new.
Absolutely. I mean, love the speed. I've been a big fan of Jakeem Grant since we drafted him. I really wanted to see this come to fruition a little bit more. I mean, it's great. He is developing as a wide receiver. He had that really incredible grab in the Jacksonville game. That was pretty cool. But when you're supposed to be like the return man and you're fumbling those, that's not going to work. That's not going to cut it. So it is about time we try somebody else out there. So maybe this will be the week. We'll see.
I've seen a lot of fans on Twitter calling for putting Tua back there to bring punts back. They're like, man, get this guy in the game just somehow.
I heard somebody say that Tua should replace Austin Jackson on the offensive line. So maybe we shouldn't listen to the people on Twitter.
They just want to see him in that uniform. We all bought the jersey. We just want to see it on the field.
Imagine the formations you could run with Tua on the line, eligible.
It would definitely be interesting to watch. I wonder if Chan Gailey is creative enough to do something with that. But I guess let's look into this. Do we have any key matchups? Brian, do you see anything here?
I don't. I don't see a key matchup. The only key, I mean, we're dominant in pretty much every position. The main thing is going to be, are these guys going to show up and play like they should play? Like, our DBs should the wide receivers of the Jets should have to give them their houses at the end of this game. Like, I mean, they should just own them. The D line should just destroy the O line. I don't know who's playing. I mean, Frank Gore is their running back. There's no real interesting matchup here. I mean, when you're dealing with a 9.5-point spread, there's not usually going to be key matchups. The key matchup is going to be the motivation factor, showing up to play on Sunday, doing your job like they say every day in the press conferences. You know, we got to take it one day at a time, one week at a time. We got to beat the Jets this week. So showing up and doing their job, no matter if it's against the Jets or if it's against the Patriots, you know, that's going to be the key matchup, I think, of the week.
I dig that. Jimmy, you got one?
I lean with Brian that they're really – just because these Jets have literally nothing – and when it comes to personnel, there's really no key matchup for me to kind of, you know, look at or break down or consider. I guess somewhat you can call it a key matchup, whatever. I would like to see a get right game for the run game If you look back over the past few weeks, Kenyon Drake averaged 3.3 yards against him. Not great, but he went for 60. Edmonds went for 36. Murray ran for 31. So they're over 100 yards right there, including their quarterback. But you go back to the Denver game, Melvin Gordon broke him off on a Thursday nighter, 107 yards, 2 touchdowns. Week before that, Mozart and Jerick McKinnon went for like 160 and 2 touchdowns combined on like 11 carries or something like that. So they've been getting ran all over. I looked at the quarterback stats against them too, and they didn't face like two high end of quarterbacks. They were high completion percentages, but not huge yardage, huge touchdown games. A lot of teams have been doing pretty much whatever they want against them. So that's why I would like to see us at least try to get some runs going, establish it, have a decent game. You know, win the game however we have to. I don't think Fitzpatrick's going to have to come out and sling it 40 times, though, to get it done. So I think they get up early, and I think they can run the ball. It's just whether or not the run looks good. I would just like to see a nice, classic, good-looking ground game this week.
I dig that. I'm going to go ahead and bypass that and go into the X factors, which I just had one written down, which was Miami's pass rush versus Joe the Statue Flacco.
I was just going to say that. Like, it's funny.
That's right, because Joe is not a mobile quarterback. He is not. I do not expect him to be escaping the pocket very much or escaping that rush, so I do expect our defensive line to just eat him apart. Brian, you got anything for that?
Yeah, like that. Not only did the D-line, we saw a lot of blitzing last week. We finally last week got up against a quarterback who is not mobile, who did not have that option of, you know, killing us with his feet as well as his arm. So, you know, we're in that similar situation. So I'd like to see that the linebackers and the safeties get some interesting blitz packages going and really, you know, I would hate to bet on an injury, but I think we're seeing Morgan again. You know, they took out my favorite thing of last week is they took out Garoppolo at halftime because they were scared for his well-being. So I hope they say the same thing this week against Flacco. You know, our friend Lindsay, okay. I'm sorry to say that to, you know, she would be sad to hear me say such horrible things about Joe Flacco, but you know, that's what I'm hoping for. I'd like to see the blitzes get going and, you know, come from some different angles and, you know, the defense that we haven't seen again.
Mm-hmm. Agreed, which I guess, Jimmy, you got anything on that?
No, I'm not anything too crazy. Again, I'm with Brian mm-hmm. on this one, but just the defense as a whole. When you look at the DVOA rankings, and please don't ask me to explain what DVOA is. Like, if you... They're awesome. A lot of people use them. They're great. I use them for betting or for just checking a game out. A lot goes into it. If you like it, just Google NFL DVOA rankings. It's a long list of things that go into it by people way smarter than me. Miami's offense is 15th in DVOA. They're 26th in defense. So I would just like to see a dominant defensive performance against a very bad football team. And I think that will reside with, like you guys said, in the pass rush. I think it'll start there. Because they don't have a receiver that can get open against our DBs. And so Flacco's not going to be able to get rid of the ball quick. And like Savak, like you said, he's not going anywhere. So we should see 4, 5, 6 sacks, you know? And if not, he's just tossing the ball away quick. And we should see a ton of throwaways or some interceptions. So, I want to see a good run game and a good defense and no real X factor on it other than what you guys said with the D-line kind of just chewing this team up.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would have to say the X factor is the X factor, Xavien Howard. I'd love to see if he can pull off 4 interceptions in a row. You know, we're on 3 games in a row. Could he do it 4 in a row? We brought it up on Sunday with the craziest stat ever. The dude has led the NFL in interceptions since 2017. And he's done that over Fuller in Chicago. The difference is he's played in 15 less games than Fuller from Chicago. So, you know, I'd love to see him get a couple interceptions, keep adding to that. More importantly, I'd like to see everybody stay healthy and go into the bye week. I think that's probably the truest of the X factors.
Yeah, I liked that. I like what you did there. The X factor. I dig it. And I guess with that, we'll just go into predictions. Brian, what are we looking at?
A lot to a little. I'll go 34-3. Flacco gets him a field goal.
All right, I dig it. Jimmy?
I got 27-13. I like the three, though. I gave them a little more credit than they probably deserve. The totals, though, totals only 47, so don't expect to see a shootout here. Most of the points should come from Miami. So, yeah, I got 27-13, Miami.
Oh, right on. See, I was kind of somewhere in the same realm, although Sam from Perfectville, I believe his daughter made a prediction. Would she say 27-10? I think she's on the right track, but I'm going to go ahead and raise that total to 35-10 Miami's way is what I'm looking at. All right.
And sounds a dub across the board is what it sounds like to me.
Before we wrap this up, could this be the game that that Tua gets a little garbage time, maybe some fourth quarter, keeping Fitzpatrick healthy out there?
Man, that would be great. But going into a bye week, man, can you just imagine? Because then if you bring him in garbage time and he looks good against this horrible team, because he should, it's going to be all bye week. Why isn't Tua first team? It's a bye week. Now we go Tua. And all of a sudden the whole narrative has changed from, oh, we're 3-3 at a bye with a soft schedule, we could make the playoffs, to now you're just giving that fuel to the fire for the Tua stuff. So I wish it's possible. It would be nice, but I think Flores is probably smarter than that. There will be a better time down the road, and it would just create a horrible media storm and narrative, and it could get distracting. I don't think so, but it's now possible.
I love what you said there, and I do agree with it, but I got to push back on it just a little bit on this note, because we spoke to Jay Fiedler. And
I don't have that kind of access.
I'm talking to my boy
Jay from the gas station right here. He said no on to it, but I don't know, you know.
I have to, because this is what he had said, because this was on the heels of that Seattle game, and Ryan Fitzpatrick did not look good, which got all the Tua talk ramped up. And Jay Fiedler said, "Well, this watch, guys. Now that everybody's clamoring for Tua, Fitz is going to come out and play lights out," and he played his best game of the season. Yeah. So it does make you wonder, if we go out on something like that, Tua ends up playing really well against New York, and we go into the bye week, and then you have all that talk, do we come out of it and then Ryan Fitzpatrick plays the best ball of his career?
Artificial QB battle going on. I like that. I like that, Savak. 4D chess, I think, is what they call that. Wow.
That's right.
I'm with that. This team, hey, if there is a QB thing and the media's getting in, Fitzpatrick's not going to worry about it. It's not going to bother him. If there's any quarterback in the league it's not going to get to, it is not going to be that dude. So, hey, yeah, if they want to stir up a little bit to light a fire under that old man, hey, I'm with it.
Mm-hmm. Seen it work before.
The only place that there is any quarterback controversy in Miami is in the fans, right? Oh, yeah. The locker room knows who the quarterback is. The coach knows who the quarterback is. The quarterback knows who the quarterback is. Our backup quarterback knows who the quarterback is. So, you know, but there has to be some truth to what Jimmy has said, because we've had opportunity for garbage time Tua in two games and he hasn't come out. But I could see it if this gets ugly early. I mean, why not? It's be a perfect time to get him a little bit of action, get some tape on him before the bye week. But if there's garbage time, you can't make a – you're right. Like, if Fitzpatrick brings us to garbage time and we're up 42-0, there's no – even if Tua throws three touchdowns, Fitzpatrick got us to 42-0. So, you know, there's no story there. But again, I do agree with Jimmy a little bit, though, because that what has been shown, that they haven't really wanted to awaken that beast, but I wouldn't be surprised either. So that's the storyline of Sunday. Will our quarterback get garbage time play?
Yeah, we're getting way ahead of ourselves here. We're talking about possible garbage time, but there wouldn't be, like, obviously, when, you know, if they were 42-0 and he plays well, comes in, looks good, you know, Miami media probably is not going to blow it out of proportion, especially with how close they are to the team and coach and this and that. But, man, you know they're going to run it on NFL Network and Good Morning Football. It's going to be, oh, is it Tua time? Is it Tua time? Cowherd, Tua time, everywhere. And I do have to admit, the first game when Herbert came in and he started last minute and that boy came out just slinging it, I was like, oh, my God, like, we need Tua in there. We need Tua. So I got to admit, I bought into that a little bit with the rest of everybody else. It is hard seeing Burrow and Herbert doing their thing with our golden arm just sitting on the bench. But, you know, hey, trust the process, man. I'm a Celtics fan, too. I know it doesn't make sense, and I was told for 20 years of my life to trust the process. Danny Ainge knows what he's doing. Trust the process. So, hey. I'm trusting this process here, and Chris Greer and Coach Flores, they've been great so far. So,
yes, sir. Yeah. I'm trying to hang in there with you too. I mean, it's all we can do. Exactly. But with that, I suppose Brian, you got one more thing.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. The Dolphin fans get one big win and we're like getting all cocky and talking about garbage time and 42-0. We've been like the laughing stock of the NFL for the past 2 years. And you know, we're 2-3, and we're like, yeah, we're kind of done.
So when we're kicking the shit out of the Jets next week, should they bring Tua in? Like,
we are getting way ahead of ourselves. We're just very confident.
Who are you going to start in the divisional round, Tua or Fitzpatrick?
That's good. Well, then I guess that'll take us to our wrap. So make sure you subscribe to the Fanatics Miami Dolphins podcast. Everywhere podcasts are available, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. There's a couple on there I hadn't heard of, but apparently we're on there too. So awesome. Follow the Fanatics Network on YouTube, youtube.com/Fanatics Network. And make sure that you check out the Jason Taylor All In for Literacy Poker Tournament. We are taking part. We're running a competition, a contest. Brian, you want to tell these people a little bit about it?
Yeah, just when you do follow us on youtube.com/FinAddictsNetwork, take a screenshot, send it over to us on Twitter @Fin_Addicts. Or at info@FinAddictsNetwork.com, because you will be entered to get a seat in the Jason Taylor All In for Literacy Poker Tournament. But the real fun part of that is not only do you get to play poker with Jason Taylor and Joy Taylor and OJ McDuffie and all these past Dolphin greats and, you know, media members, but the fit you go up against the FinAddicts in a side game, and the whoever has the best finish of the FinAddicts and our winner gets a Jason Taylor signed mini helmet, 2017 Hall of Fame mini helmet. So huge, huge come up right there. So definitely follow us on YouTube. And I finally get to announce this. This is probably going to come out tomorrow. And tomorrow should also be when www.finaddictsnetwork.com goes live. So check out our website. You can find info on all of our podcasts on Welcome to Perfectville podcast and our friend Dougley Do Wrong, his podcast, and YouTube. So check us out on there. And you can also find all the information on that contest on our new website.
That's right. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter @Fin_Addicts for everybody here. Jimmy, thank you very much for joining us, man.
Thank you guys, man. It was a pleasure to be here. Great to be on. It was great talking to you guys again. You guys are doing great, man. I'm loving what you guys are doing. Keep it up.
We'll certainly try. So we're going to go out the way we generally do. Fins up, everybody.
Fins up, Fins handsome up. Jimmy.
Thanks, guys.
Right at this moment, there are men everywhere, doing manly things. Beards unkempt, hair run amok, leaving them in a state of hair despair. And that's just what we can see. Never mind what's going on downstairs. But it doesn't have to be that way. Thanks to our friends at Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com and enter our promo code FINSUP to save an instant 20%. Get free shipping and help quell the hair despair in your life. These bearded bros are counting on you. Won't you help them?